You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12s. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. We're 24 hours away from kickoff at CenturyLink Field. A short week. We're rolling out a crossover Wednesday special with the Locked On Cardinals crew coming your way. Looking forward to revisiting the last matchup between these two teams, an overtime thriller in Glendale, and analyzing key storylines heading into this Week 11 rematch. Here on a jam-packed episode, this football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. Again, it's a short week. Everything's a little different than a normal week in the NFL. Wednesday's final injury report coming out for the Seahawks. A bit of a mixed bag. There's some good and there's some bad. Let's start with the bad and the obvious. The Seahawks are going to be without their two starting cornerbacks, Shaquille Griffin and Quentin Dunbar, for a second straight game, the second time in 5 days. Not really a surprise that either one of these players could not get back in time for a Thursday night game. Maybe if this game was being played on Sunday like normal, one of those players would have had an opportunity to make it back. But now they're going to have a 10-day gap until they play again. Actually 11, because they're going to be playing a Monday night game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Seahawks are going to get some much-needed rest on a mini-bye of sorts. And so maybe that'll give them a chance to get Griffin and or Dunbar back by that point. But for now, they're going to be going up against DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk and company, with the duo of Trey Flowers and DJ Reed. Reed drew plenty of praise this week from Pete Carroll as well as Ken Norton Jr. and had a solid game against the Rams, especially in the second half. Only bad play that he really had was a questionable pass interference call in the end zone. Made some nice plays in the run game as well. Going to be challenged this week, though, with the talent the Cardinals have at the receiver position, as will Trey Flowers, who continues to play better after a really rough start to the season. So, obviously, not an ideal situation for the Seahawks, but they have more confidence this week with DJ Reed now being in his second week working at that outside cornerback position and with Flowers playing better football as of late. And on the offensive line, the Seahawks will be without Ethan Posick. He is not practiced this week. He is still not out of concussion protocol. I would think there's a good chance he can get back for week 12. But again, this is another player that, given his injury, I didn't see any way that he was going to be able to play with this quick of a turnaround on Thursday night football. So they're not going to have him. They're not going to have guard Jordan Simmons, who's dealing with a calf injury. But the good news here on the offensive line, they do have reinforcements coming. Phil Haynes, activated from the injured reserve list. He's been out since week one with a hip injury, has been practicing the last couple weeks, and now they have activated him to the roster. So he will be able to fill that gap as that swing guard left behind with Jordan Simmons not being able to play in this game. And according to Pete Carroll, he also can play center in a pinch. So that is an interesting development when you consider Posick isn't playing and Kyle Fuller is going to start with a high ankle sprain. If he's hobbled and struggling or isn't able to play the whole game, then Jamarco Jones or Phil Haynes will have to go in as the emergency center. Both those guys have gotten some work on the practice field. And so that is a storyline worth watching going into this game. As far as the good news goes, the Seahawks may have Chris Carson back for this football game. Carlos Hyde was not even on the final injury report. So at least one of those two running backs will be back in the lineup after missing 3 games. That's really good news for an offense that has certainly missed having a viable running game that opponents have to respect. And if Chris Carson's able to play, some conflicting reports out there. Pete Carroll himself told reporters that they were feeling pretty good that he's got a chance to make it back tomorrow. They're going to evaluate him tomorrow to make that decision, but he did practice on Tuesday. So that's a good development for his chances of being able to play in this game. Adam Schefter reported it was unlikely he was going to play. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. This is still a developing situation for the Seahawks if he's going to be able to play in this game or not. Tyler Lockett has not practiced or did not practice on Tuesday, but he practiced on Wednesday. in limited fashion. He wanted to practice all out. Pete Carroll and company wouldn't let him do that, but Carroll said he looked too good not to be able to play on Thursday night. They're, of course, going to see how he recovers tomorrow from having the practice load on Wednesday, but certainly looks like Tyler Lockett's going to be out there. Big news for the receiving corps. So they're going to be healthier on offense than what they were in Sunday's game, especially if Chris Carson is able to suit up. If not, with Travis Homer being unlikely to play, I would suspect that Bo Scarborough is going to be the guy that gets the call up this week. Alex Collins, they cannot elevate to the roster a third straight week. They've already used up his two games to do that with. They would have to move him up to the 53-man roster. And with Phil Haynes filling the spot left behind with Nico Thorpe going to injured reserve, they currently don't have a spot on the 53-man roster, so they would have to do something else to bring up Alex Collins, considering their two running backs look to be on the mend, and Rashad Penny has a chance to be back here in the near future. I don't suspect that that's going to be the move they make. I would think Bo Scarborough is going to be the one that is elevated if they need backfield insurance against the Cardinals. When I return for the second quarter, I'm going to be joining forces with Bo Brock and Alex Clancy of Locked On Cardinals as we get ready for our Thursday night football rematch between the Seahawks and the Cardinals. We're going to be diving into all the key storylines for both teams entering a pivotal NFC West matchup in primetime. Don't go away. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals, and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to five family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/code, that's E-C-H-E-L-O-N, fit.com/NFL. Welcome to Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We got a short week here with the Seahawks and Cardinals set to play on Thursday Night Football. I'm Corbin Smith for Locked On Seahawks, joining forces with Alex Clancy and Bo Brock of Locked On Cardinals. Alex, Bo, you guys are coming off one of the craziest victories imaginable over the Bills. I know Seahawk fans were thinking, well, you know what? Yeah, we lost to the Rams, but it looks like the Bills, who beat us last week, are going to give us some help this week and beat the Cardinals. And then the Hail Mary happens and DeAndre Hopkins comes down within the end zone and the Cardinals get a signature win over a very good Buffalo Bills football team. Is this the type of play that now really brings it into a clearness that this team is for real and they are a true contender in one of the toughest, if not the toughest, division in football?
Yeah, I mean, Corbin, it's crazy that how important that game was to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the Hail Mary is cool. I mean, people win on Hail Marys for games that really don't matter that much, or for teams that have already set themselves, you know, up for playoff success, and it's just, you know, another tip of the cap to that. But the fact that this was the most pivotal game for the Arizona Cardinals for their 2020 campaign, and to do it that way, sure, 97% luck. But when you have a guy like, maybe that's a little too high, when you have a guy like Kyler Murray who's got a cannon and a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who in my opinion is the best receiver in the game, I said that before he was traded to the Arizona Cardinals, it just makes it that much sweeter, you know? It just makes it, it gives Arizona Cardinals fans, players, media members a feeling that maybe has never been felt before by a team that has true Super Bowl aspirations in the next year or two, if not this year. Who the hell knows what's going to happen in 2020?
Yeah, just an incredible moment for Arizona Cardinals fans, where they're not used to being on the end of these, on the positive end. Usually you're seeing Jeff Janis, who, a no-name wide receiver, pull down a Hail Mary in a playoff game from Aaron Rodgers. Patrick Peterson was on the wrong end of that one. But finally, the Arizona Cardinals, they have the duo that's necessary in place to do it. And I think, is a lot of people want to label it luck. And I think as far as you put your two best players in a position to pull this one off. I mean, I could just as easily see Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf, you know, hooking up for something like this. But there aren't a lot of duos in the NFL that can pull this off, and the Arizona Cardinals absolutely have those guys. And it's just really reinforcing a belief in this fan base that this team can do something special, that they can rebound from just really 2 years of futility. And the Cardinals, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, it's just you just thank your lucky stars each and every week. It's just like having guys like Russell Wilson in the fold and knowing that they're going to be there for, you know, the better part of a decade.
I know it's crazy that I'm going to transition from going talking about that incredible deep ball to win the game against Buffalo, and obviously Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, that is the Arizona Cardinals offense. Those two guys are the stars. But I just feel like every time the Seahawks play the Cardinals since the Kingsbury era started, and you could see it at the end of the game a few weeks ago, I thought the real difference maker for the Cardinals when they were making that comeback, Seattle had a significant lead in that game, it was getting their running backs involved. And that's not just running the football. Seattle for three quarters did a good job slowing down Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds. But fourth quarter and overtime, when the defense started to get tired, Kenyon Drake was out at that point, but Chase Edmonds made some huge plays, both as a runner and catching the ball out of the backfield, picked up a couple clutch first downs. And I just feel like when they are able to get a semblance, and Seahawks fans know this, they haven't had any run game for a couple weeks, and you've seen the impact that's had on Russell Wilson. It feels like Kyler Murray and company, when they've just got that complement there with Drake and Edmonds as runners and receivers, it just makes this offense that much tougher to defend, especially for a defense like Seattle's that hasn't been able to stop anyone.
Yeah, the one thing that we've learned through trial and error is that Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds need each other. They're a perfect balance. Not everybody can be, you know, Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey. And listen, in the grand scheme of things, it might be better to split up the skill sets with a guy that's a traditional runner with a guy that's a traditional pass catching back, because we've seen it without Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds. It could have been against the Miami defense, may have been that, but it's more of a, he's the guy that will have a couple carries. He has a nice burst of speed out of the backfield, but he is a natural pass catching back. And when you were talking about when Kenyon Drake went out against Seattle, you saw that. Chase Edmonds, and I know a lot of it was playing catch-up, but he can get into space, and he's got a great burst. And there were a couple very, very important catches that he had that put the Cardinals in a position to succeed. It's, at this point, the rushing attack is a two-headed monster, and that's the best way it should be. And I think Bo would agree with me. Again, through trial and error, we've seen how it, when it's not like that, and Kenyon Drake has finally figured out how to run north and south, these two guys together make a great, you know, unified one back, just with, you know, their specific skill sets completely separate from each other.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. I just keep going back to what KJ Wright said before the first game between these two teams. And he was talking about just how important it is to slow down that off-tackle ground game for the Cardinals to limit their opportunities with their horizontal passing game, and how if they get the run game going, get some quick passes to those guys, that it makes it tougher to defend those bubble screens and things that the Cardinals like to run. And you could see that at times in that game. You can see it watching other games on film too. So I know that that's still something the Seahawks are focusing on. Let's go to the Cardinals on defense, because that was what I was most impressed about in the fourth quarter and overtime in that first matchup, is they made adjustments. And I think having Chris Carson not in the game, we've seen defenses play differently against the Seahawks without Chris Carson. So the whole running backs don't matter narrative has kind of been thrown out the door when you look at Chris Carson and then the guys that have been playing since he's been hurt. Teams are just playing the Seahawks differently. And one thing the Cardinals started doing, they really started getting exotic with their blitzers. I loved watching. There was one play in overtime. They blitzed both their corners off the edge, and all four down linemen dropped back in coverage, and Wilson got sacked on that play. They were doing a great job confusing him. And we've seen the Bills, and then last week the Rams, those teams have found their own different ways to mix up their blitzes. They're coming after Russell Wilson. Bo, do you expect much of the same strategy this week going against the Seahawks a second time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, something changed. It was just a terrible first half against the Seahawks last time these teams met up on Sunday Night Football. Almost 400 yards of total offense from Russell Wilson and crew, and it couldn't get any worse, but it got a lot better. Vance Joseph was able to dial up those exotic blitz packages, and they were able to shut out or at least hold them to 7 points, at least the Seattle Seahawks in that potent offense in the second half. And it was, you know, Russell Wilson had no idea where the pressure was going to come from. And you had Byron Murphy, who started blitzing in that game. And then he also, we saw that continue this past week where we saw him blitz. He was almost like he was all-time blitz against the Buffalo Bills last game. Has it necessarily translated to success? I mean, this is a defense that surrendered 30-plus points the last three games. I mean, it's not, you know, they're not shutting down opposing offenses. They're making enough stops. They're getting enough pressure and forcing quarterbacks into mistakes. We saw it last week against Josh Allen, where he threw the ball to the Cardinals twice, which created opportunities for this offense to take advantage, and they were able to kind of go for 17 unanswered points and kind of at a similar result as the Sunday night game against Seattle is rally back and get back into this one. This defense has just been good enough and made enough stops and forced enough turnovers. It's not great though when you need them to slow down an opposing offense. If I'm looking at Russell Wilson again with another opportunity late in the game, I can't say that I'm confident this defense is going to make the stop necessary, but they're capable of making that stop. You know, are they going to get it all together? Is the blitz packets going to work out? Sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, 30 points in the last three games is showing that this defense still has a lot of room for improvement, Corbin.
And it sounds kind of similar to the Seahawks the last few weeks. Well, we can't stop anybody if we're bringing four. So we're blitzing a lot more, and you're hoping you can force the quarterback into some mistakes. They did get Jared Goff to fumble the ball last week. So kind of similar for both these teams. Alex, one last matchup that I want to break down here. I was talking with my co-host Rob Rang about this yesterday. It's really difficult for teams to win three straight games against the same opponent. I think it's safe to say that that's similar when you're talking about two superstars going against each other. Patrick Peterson has had DK Metcalf's number the first two times that he's played against him. This is going to be a matchup that Metcalf is very motivated to go out and have a big game, especially when the Rams held him to just a couple catches last week. And if you watch the game, you can see why he was frustrated. It seemed like he was getting open and Russell Wilson was not looking to get the football to him. What has Peterson been doing in these first couple games that's allowed him to have success? And how confident are you that he'll be able to replicate that for a third straight time against one of the NFL's best receivers?
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing is that second half, that performance in Seattle in the Seattle game by Patrick Peterson may be the most surprising performance we've seen this year. It's just, he's so Jekyll and Hyde. It's so hot and cold. You could see him earlier in the season. He didn't look great. And then, you know, flash forward to Buffalo. He had the interception. He dropped a couple others. He got burned a couple times. He played good defense for part of the game as well. Patrick Peterson is in this weird age and weird skill set where he still has strengths, but he's not the old P2. You know, he's not the old Pat P. So it's just, I don't know what the secondary is going to look like aside from the safeties. I don't know. What I do know is Patrick Peterson is not going to blitz like Bo was talking about. I mean, it's anybody else except for Patrick Peterson. His coverage has been good at times. It's been lacking at times. And the him locking down DK Metcalf, I'm not sure if Russell Wilson just saw more openings with Tyler Lockett, so they just continued to feed the beast. I think he had, 15 catches for 200 yards? He had, you know, monster numbers. Maybe they just said, you know what? It's not worth it. This is working, so we're going to go back to the well as much as we can. I'm not sure what we're going to see from Patrick Peterson on a week-to-week basis. I'm just not.
That's an interesting take because certainly his Pro Football Focus grades have been all over the place, and so that's gone with what your analysis was. He's been up and down, but from what I could tell in that game, looking at the All-22, there were certainly some opportunities that Wilson could have gone to Metcalf. It looked a lot like last week, but again, when you're bringing pressure, especially late in that game, it speeds up the quarterback's clock, and it takes away some of those reads that I think Russell Wilson normally would be making against a defense. When we come back for the next quarter, going to switch gears here. You guys are going to be picking my brain a little bit on this Seahawks squad that suddenly can't seem to do much right on either side of the football. They're going to be looking to get right on Thursday Night Football.
As an avid weightlifter and distance runner, I'm always looking for an edge when it comes to nutrition, seeking delicious, healthy protein bars without the crazy additives. Since being diagnosed with celiac disease, my options have been pretty limited. Until now. Enter in the Built Bar, a low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, gluten-free protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bar now comes in 18 mouth-watering flavors, including 6 new delicious flavors such as caramel brownie and cookies and cream. My all-time favorite is peanut butter brownie, which is 20 grams of protein, just 3 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of net carbs. Since I had my first Built Bar, I never go without one when I hit the weight room or go for a jog. All Built Bars are 100% chocolate, nut and gluten-free, soft and easy to chew, and don't have the nasty aftertaste of competing protein bars. Sound too good to be true? Go to BuiltBar.com and build your own custom box with your choice of flavors using the code LOCKEDON for $10 off. You will also receive a free cooler with your first purchase while supplies last. So what are you waiting for? Change your workout game by going to BuiltBar.com and entering code LOCKEDON for $10 off.
Welcome back. Crossover edition on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Alex Clancy and Bo Rock from Locked On Cardinals. Corbin Smith from Locked On Seahawks. It is now our turn to put Corbin Smith in front of the firing squad and ask him all the questions that we want answers to ahead of the Thursday night matchup between the Cardinals and the Seahawks at CenturyLink Field. First off, super weird with no fans. CenturyLink is one of those where I don't know why Levi Stadium, when you see no fans there, it pops more. Normal. Maybe because of the red seats. I don't know, but CenturyLink is going to be super weird. Corbin, the Seahawks are 1-3 in their last four, and to say that that doesn't give me joy, I'd be lying to you. when it comes to the turnaround effect of the NFL. I talked with Bo about this earlier in the week on our podcast, where this is a perfect matchup for the NFL to watch Seattle just lay into the Cardinals and win by 10 or 14 points, because it's the last thing that any sort of momentum-based thought process would yield. Seattle reeling, Russell Wilson, 7 interceptions over the last couple games. Kyler Murray's at an all-time high with DeAndre Hopkins coming off their the Hail Murray at the end of the game last week. What does Seattle need to do to right the ship?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that needs to happen. He did practice on Tuesday, and that's Chris Carson needs to come back. They have missed him badly the last couple of weeks. And I don't even think that it's that they need to – there's a lot of people that misconstrue this. They hear balanced offense, they're thinking 50-50 run pass. No, that's not at all what I mean by that. But there needs to be a semblance of a rushing attack. And quite frankly, I don't think the Bills or Rams have had any respect for them. And Alex Collins looked okay last week, but he's not Chris Carson. So teams are just sending 6-7 guys after Russell Wilson. He has not done a good enough job getting the ball out to his hot routes. The pass protection at times has been shaky because of communication, and they've been put in a bad spot because they become one-dimensional. Chris Carson was having a really good game against the Cardinals a few weeks ago before he got hurt. 5 carries for, I believe, 32 yards. And I think that he is the perfect back to be able to chew up that Cardinals defense. So him being back practicing is very encouraging. They could have Carlos Hyde back too. Both those guys have been out the last 3 games, and it has certainly hurt them. Just the presence of those two guys in the backfield adjusts how defenses have to play against this football team. And they've been going after young running backs with those blitzes too, trying to test them in pass protection. Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson are both really solid in pass pro as well. And so as simple as it may sound, I think just simply having one or two of those guys back on the field is going to be a major confidence booster for this offense, because they've just been too one-dimensional. The let Russ cook movement doesn't need to stop, but in order for Russell Wilson to cook, he's got to have running backs that can set the table for him.
Corbin, what about that offensive line? And I know the running backs do play a role in that, and that balance sometimes does as well. But 11 sacks over the last 2 games where they've dropped both of those contests. I mean, when we spoke and the Seahawks were undefeated, you thought you were kind of encouraged by this offensive line. Where do you stand since we've last spoken?
I don't think the offensive line's a problem. I really don't. I think it's just come down to there have been so many situations where defenses are bringing more players than they can block. And they've certainly had some injury issues. Ethan Posick not being available last week. Kyle Fuller really struggled. And to his defense, he was playing most of the game on a high ankle sprain. So they've got a very interesting predicament they're dealing with at the pivot position right now. It looks unlikely they're going to have Posick back for this week. He's still in concussion protocol. And Fuller maybe is going to be playing on that high ankle sprain. So that is a position that the Cardinals might be circling like, hey, we can take advantage of this. But I think Duane Brown is playing as well as he's played at any point in his career. He played really well on Sunday. That was not where the pressure was coming. There were a couple times where I felt really bad for Brandon Schell, the right tackle, because they would have a blitzer coming through the B gap, and Damian Lewis is already picking somebody up at the guard spot. He's got to take the most immediate danger, which is that blitzer coming through the B gap, and that leaves Leonard Floyd shooting off the edge with nobody to block him. And half the time they didn't have a running back in the backfield. So that, again, that is on Russell Wilson to know where that pressure is coming from. And he's got to be able to get the ball out to his hot route so that he's not taking those hits. So yes, there have been some communication issues against these blitzes. They've been put in a tough spot because they've fallen behind and they become one dimensional. That makes it so much easier for the defense, and they can be more aggressive blitzing against Russell Wilson. But I think that this group is still playing pretty darn well. I would not put a lot of those hits on them necessarily. There have been times where Russell Wilson's had a lot of time in the pocket, and he just isn't getting rid of the football either. So, again, I don't want to make this a pick on Russell Wilson fest, but he has played some of his worst football the last couple weeks in a number of different ways. He's just got to get the football out, and he's got to play with a bit more confidence and not try to force the issue. He's made some really uncharacteristic mistakes dating back to that Cardinals game in Arizona, throws you just don't normally see Russell Wilson make. You've got to wonder if the pressure of holding this team up on his shoulders is starting to wear down on him a little bit.
That's Corbin Smith from Locked On Seahawks, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This is going to be a hell of a game. Listen, is Jamal Adams good at football? Do we know that yet? Jamal Adams was traded for, I think, the whole state of Washington. Listen, when he's great, he's great. When he's rushing the passer, when he's in his element, he's fantastic. He's been hobbled. What is the pulse surrounding the acquisition of Jamal Adams a couple weeks in?
So I think it's still way too early to be jumping to conclusions here because, I mean, if you've seen what Jamal Adams did to the Jets, you know what kind of football player that you have there. And certainly there have been some issues in coverage. Here's the thing that people don't realize. Most of the coverage numbers he gave up were two huge plays to Julian Edelman in week two. And otherwise, he really hasn't been that bad in coverage. And obviously, his biggest strength playing near the box and blitzing and rushing off the edge. And I've seen a lot of Seahawks fans complaining about this. It's so obvious when he's coming. Well, then why does he have 5.5 sacks? You know, they might know he's coming, but they've gotten burned a few times. Don't get me wrong. There have been some times they've sent 6 or 7 guys the last couple weeks, and then teams are running screens and burning them with it. And so there have been some questions about that. But if you're not blitzing Jamal Adams, I think he's capable in coverage, but this is a unicorn. This is a guy that is one of the best blitzing safeties that I've seen, and you've already got a front four that struggled to get pressure on quarterbacks. So I absolutely think Jamal Adams is a fantastic football player. I am not pinning Seattle's defensive struggles, especially when you consider that he had a groin injury. He was playing through a shoulder injury on Sunday, which he should be good to go for Thursday's game, but he's been a little banged up. For him to go out there, he made a couple huge plays for them that I can't imagine how many points they would have given up in that first half if they didn't have him coming off the edge, forcing that fumble on Jared Goff. And then the next possession, getting another sack, it really helped them turn things around. They only gave up 6 points in the entire second half on Sunday. And so for the first time in a long time, you're thinking, hey, maybe there's some momentum here. And I think Jamal Adams was a big part of that with his aggressive play.
Let me ask you this. I've got two questions, and I just want one real quick answer as far as the pass rush is concerned, because we saw the big glaring stat from the overtime win for the Cardinals a couple weeks ago. It was Kyler Murray didn't have one, like his uniform was clean. Zero QB hits.
They didn't obviously need to wash it.
Yeah, no sacks, of course. With the addition of Carlos Dunlap and then the return of Jamal Adams, is the pass rush improved?
I absolutely think so. I don't think the last two games have been an aberration. I mean, they had seven sacks in Buffalo. Now, part of that was they were blitzing so darn much, and they got burned. Again, they got burned a few times. There's no question about it. But Carlos Dunlap has already made an impact. He had a sack in that game. He was in on a sack against the Rams. He is a legitimate run defender to go with it. And so I think he has been an outstanding addition to this football team. I think he's a wild card to watch in this rematch. I think he's a guy that you definitely want to keep an eye on.
And then when I'm looking at the rest of the schedule for the Seahawks, I mean, this is an important game for the Arizona Cardinals because they're not sure they have games left against the Giants and the Eagles. But when you look at the next four games, or even just after the Cardinals game for the Seahawks, it goes Eagles, Giants, Jets, Washington football team, and then the Niners to wrap things up, with only the Rams really a real threat. I got to imagine the Seahawks, even if they drop this one, they got to be pretty confident their road to the playoffs is a pretty easy one.
Yeah, when you and I both know there's no such thing as an easy game in the NFL, that the Jets have kind of put that to the test this year. But, the schedule is certainly encouraging after this. I still think if you want to win the NFC West, this is a huge game for the Seahawks. They can't drop to 6-4 and drop both games against the Cardinals, who I believe in. I believe they are a legitimate threat to win this division and could get to that 11-12 win threshold. But yeah, Seattle's got the scheduling advantage right there. If they're able to win this game, that's why it's so big, because if you improve your record to 7-3 and now you've got that, I'm not going to use the word gauntlet because that's not really what they're going to be facing the next month, but you're going to be playing a number of teams with losing records that you have no business losing to. They could realistically be 11-3 going into their last two games with the Rams, who they have to come to CenturyLink Field this time, where Seattle beat them last year. And of course, the 49ers, who probably won't have Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, any of those guys. They've been injury ravaged. So that's a game, even on the road, the Seahawks should feel confident in being able to win in week 17. So it is not out of the question that they could run the table there. With the fact they've lost three of their last four, this could be one of those crazy years. If they win this game and get some momentum back, it's not out of the question that they could be a 12-4 or even 13-3 team with the teams they have left in their schedule.
The crazy part about this game for both teams is that this is so pivotal. I mean, this could legitimately tell the tale. This will, if the Cardinals win, it'll put a stranglehold on at least the tiebreakers for the NFC West. So if it stays as close as it has so far through the rest of the season, the Cardinals will have a huge leg up. They'll be 3-0 in division. And if the Seahawks win, it's like last week didn't happen. And we'll see what happens with the Rams as well. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. Corbin Smith, Locked On Seahawks. You're listening to another edition of the crossover edition on the Locked On Podcast Network. Corbin, it's been fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Enjoy the game, guys.